Balls back on the Boss Man Show. New head coach George Mason, Kim English with me. Coach, good to talk to you again, man. What's up with you guys up there in the DMV area?
Good seeing you, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Well, Coach, tell me this, man. Opportunity here, George Mason in the A-10. Tell us about this opportunity. What kind of got your mind to want to go for it and get it and get this thing going, man?
Yeah, no, I've always, you know, really wanted to, you know, head a successful program. And, you know, they're hard to come by. And then there's some you won't take and there's some you can't get, you know, but then there's a sweet spot of jobs, and that if they ever come open, you'd obviously be elated to give it a crack, to give a crack at it. And, you know, this one worked out, and I'm extremely excited about the opportunity, and the work's already began, and really excited to get the season started.
And Coach, talk to us about the administration being in line with your vision as well, because you got the president, the AD, and everybody involved to kind of be on that same vision for you to take a job. Tell us about the vision between you and those guys during the interview process there.
Coach Barnes has always told me that, he said, you know, who you work for is probably a little bit more important than where you work. And when I first spoke to George Mason, first the athletic director, Brad Edwards, and then on to the president, Dr. Greg Washington, deputy athletic director, Dr. Debbie Corbato. I mean, the alignment is, it's unreal. You know, from a university standpoint to an athletic standpoint, like everyone at this university is all moving in the right direction. And everyone at this university and in this area got to see how special everything was in Fairfax County when basketball was rolling at a high level. And the people here want to get back to that. So I'm really honored and privileged that they've charged me with that task. And now we got to get it done.
Man, just Coach English, tell me, ask you this, brother. At what point do you want to get into coaching, man? I know my father's a coach. And I never wanted to be a coach. I wanted to be in radio, always. I played. I said, no, I'm going to get in radio, stay in the game that way. So for you, when did you get that bug to want to coach?
You know, I've always kind of thought the game like a coach, even as a player. All my coaches from AAU to high school to college to professionals have had a huge impact on me. But when I got towards the end of my career in college, I think I pretty much knew that after my playing career was done, I'd want to get into coaching. But at that point, it was – in my mind, it was going to be after a long career in the NBA. My NBA career only lasted 1 year. And once I got out of the league, I knew I wanted to get into coaching. And I learned, right? I learned because, you know, I was obsessed as a young player with getting to the NBA. It was all I talked about, all I wanted to get to the league. And when I did hear my name called, when I did get to the league, I kind of relaxed. And me letting my guard down and me kind of resting on my laurels, it turned to be fatal to my career. So when I was overseas, I spent 2 years playing overseas, preparing to be a successful college coach, right? Which my goal as a young person and a young player should have been to be a successful NBA player, to sign multiple contracts, to become a champion, an all-star, Hall of Famer, because then you don't rest, right? Then you don't rest when the goal is realized. And, so I spent my last two seasons playing, preparing to be a good coach, a successful coach, and you know, learn the recruiting landscape, how to develop scouting reports, how to learn your opponent, how to work on different players' games, how to identify talent. And then when I got into coaching, my mind shifted to becoming a successful head coach. And you know, so I have the strategies and the plans and the processes that I think will work. And now we're going to put them to the task and see if they do work.
And Coach, let me ask you this, man. I know for me, when I was a co-host before I got my own show, I was thinking in my head thinking about, I would do it this way. I would maybe ask a question this way. So for you, being an assistant coach, doing your role as assistant coach, did you kind of put yourself in the shoes of Coach Barnes or Coach Boyle and say, hey, if I was them, I would do it this way?
Yeah, no, Coach Haith, Coach Barnes, Coach Boyle, all three of them, they really always challenged me to think like a head coach. Even when I was 25 years old, my first year at Tulsa, I mean, Coach Haith used to say, I mean, think like a head coach. Coach Barnes, I mean, more than any of them, I mean, you have to think like a head coach, because he's going to, I mean, you know, this quick story of an example, how we're playing Florida two seasons ago and we were struggling to get the ball across half court. So the count's going and the shot clock's at 24. So we have 4 seconds, and when someone deflected the ball out of bounds. So we have 4 seconds to get the ball across half court, like late in the game. So I walk up to him, and it's like a minute and a half left in the game. It's winning time. And I said, "Coach, you want to call a full court play to get the ball, like pass towards half court to get it across? Or you want to call a timeout to get a fresh 10? And he was like, "What do you want to do?" I was like, "I want to call a timeout." He was like, "Timeout." So like, you know, little things like that. And, you know, I never had to make the decision up until this point, but I always took great honor and respect for always being in the room or on the phone call when the decision was being made. So I was always privy to those decisions.
And Coach English, you had three great guys, Coach Hayes, Coach Boyle, Coach Barnes, about building a program. So how do you see yourself building this Patriot program going forward? What would be the ideal George Mason Patriot for you going forward?
A player? Like what the – a Patriot? Like what a
yeah,
player?
Yeah, what kind of player, what kind of character guy you looking for in your program?
Yeah, so Coach, you're right. Three great program builders. I mean, Hayes, Boyle, Barnes, all of them have all had great success building really good programs at high level from, I mean, Miami to Tulsa to Missouri to Colorado to Providence, Clemson, Texas, Tennessee. Coach Barnes, all of them are spectacular at building programs. And it's I was very fortunate just to see what the inner workings of those programs look like every day. Not necessarily what they look like from the beginning. I got to see what Tulsa looked like from the beginning. From afar, I know what Colorado looked like from the beginning, but I got to see what these programs look like when the standard operating procedure was being done at a high level. So it's just injecting that here from day one. Like, you know, the pace in which we practice, or it's the pace in which we practice at Tennessee. You know, the level of confidence that I'm going to give my guys offensively, the level of time I spend with them and working on their individual game is going to be what it was like for Frank Hafe at Missouri at the height of our success when we were 30-4. Coach Boyle, his standard of how he does things with integrity and at a high level, like that's what it's going to look like here from day one. Not trying to reinvent the wheel. I've been around worked for three really good, successful head coaches. What the ideal Patriot looks like, obviously the character stuff, the academic stuff, it's a prerequisite. You know, we're going to recruit good kids that value education. And for me, that education extends away from the classroom. You know, it's what we do in the community, on campus, and in our building. But, you know, as we talk about basketball, you need guys to be able to dribble, pass, and shoot. You know, I don't care about sizes. Obviously, I mean, I think I've seen what PJ Tucker does as a post. I've played with small guys like Phil Pressey. I recruited Kennedy Chandler, small guys. So I've all sizes of guys. But if you can dribble, pass, and shoot at a high level, that's a prerequisite. But for me, the characteristics that we must identify and that a player has to have is toughness, competitiveness, and work ethic. If those three things don't average out to be 8.5, 9, 10, you can't play here. You know, and if you are here and you don't have those three things at a high level, you'll quit. You can't make it. You know, you have to have those things to thrive, because if you don't have those things, you won't be able to survive. So, you know, you're going to make it and thrive, or you're going to quit, you know.
And Kim, you have a great area to recruit from the DMV. I mean, all that talent in the DMV, and being in Mid-Atlantic, you can go up to New York, up, come down south this way as well to Atlanta and beyond. So, and making George Mason a national brand, because they made the final four when Coach Larry Nagel was there. So it's a national brand. We know about George Mason. So talk about the recruiting base that you have and they get the guys you can get to come there and play for you guys, knowing that you're in a great area of the DMV.
Yeah, I don't want you to take offense and start throwing up your Georgia boxing gloves, but it is the best recruiting in America. The best players are from D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, no doubt about it. And not just in America, around the world. And it starts here. It starts here with us knowing, identifying, you know, recruiting and signing the best players from this area. And you're right. You know, we don't have to get in a car much. You know, Southern Virginia, North Carolina, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore. It's all right here in this area. And yes, obviously, Georgia. I mean, you got Florida. You can go all over the country. And honestly, to that point, we're 20 minutes away from the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C. I mean, we have two players in this class right now. We have a kid, Blake Jones, from Australia, and we have a kid named Muhammad Mbaye from Dakar, Senegal. So we're going to recruit talent and attract talent from all over the world because the game truly is global, and we're really excited about that opportunity.
Most definitely, and I love it because in the A-10, the league you're in is a basketball league. A lot of schools don't have football, so it's like it's truly a basketball league. So the resources are going to go to basketball first in your league for the most part. So talk about the league, how it suffers from top to bottom. You know, I got my buddy Matt McCall up there, Anthony Grant, all those guys, my guys up there, and my man Neptune up there. Talk about the league and coaches, man, you're going to be going against going forward, brother.
Yeah, it's a great league. I'm from Baltimore, so I grew up, you know, when Temple and Xavier and Dayton or GW were all in the A-10 going at it, and it is a basketball conference, and that's so exciting with coaches that have gone deep in the NCAA tournament, with multiple programs that have made it to the Final Four, and it is so exciting. It is so exciting to be on the East Coast and be able to recruit kids to a basketball league. Where no doubt about it, basketball is the premier program on campus. And great respect for all these coaches. We actually had a coaches meeting this morning and got to see all those guys face to face and hear them talk a little bit. But great respect for all these coaches and excited to compete against them.
No doubt. Well, I got a few more for you, Kim. Is this man? This is by Atlanta, though. I'm gonna ask you about Atlanta. So tell me this: what is your all-time favorite Atlanta moment, man, in your life?
Man, that's a great question. It's weird, right? These couple of these are going to be weird. Like, one is when the Braves signed a player named Rafael Furcal.
Yes, our first, yeah, it's Furcal, my guy, yes.
Yeah, I used to love Rafael Furcal, and I don't even know why. And then I think the first baseman, Andres Galarraga, the big cat.
The big cat.
Who was the running back that used to – the running back with the hair? Anderson? Who was the running back for the Falcons?
Jamal Anderson.
We used to do the Dirty Bird. Those are randomly – I guess the 96 Olympics, those are randomly some of my favorite Atlanta moments.
Yeah, so you was a TBS Braves baby after the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Hey, it's 7:35, Braves baseball after the Fresh Prince.
Turn up broadcast right there in Atlanta.
Yes, indeed. Okay. What's your favorite food spot in Atlanta when you come in to recruit and come through here?
So, you know, it's funny. So, I really don't know. So, whenever I get there, I got such anxiety because of Atlanta traffic. I'm just trying to get to Cartersville, Sewanee, wherever I'm trying to go. So, but when I do go in there, is traffic, I just will pop in my phone, Atlanta Soul Food. You know, because I've been at places like Colorado and Knoxville or Tulsa. So when I will get to like a big city, I just know it's going to be such a plethora of good restaurants to choose from. I just pop in Atlanta Soul Food and I let it just take me to wherever it happens to take me. And I don't even know what the restaurants are called, but I know my guy, Greg Barnett, who's an NFL agent, who's from Baltimore. He lives in Atlanta. Kelly Kane, who was a basketball player at Tennessee, lives in Atlanta. So I just go eat at random soul food spots every time I'm in Atlanta. But if I were to choose a restaurant to give a shout out to, it would be, and I've never even been there, but it would be Old Lady Gang, just OLG, just because I love Candy Burris in The Real Housewives of Atlanta. That's my favorite show on TV, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
No love for hip hop for you?
No, I can't do love and hip hop. That's too much. But, and I ain't ashamed to say it, I love Real Housewives of Atlanta.
So did you watch the Versus battle this weekend with Escape and SWV? Did you watch it?
Did I? SWV won. And I love Candy, but SWV won that.
Bro, that DJ though, the DJ A1, bruh.
Man, A1,
he was doing the most, wasn't he? He did not read the room, man.
Yeah, no, I watched. I was locked in, man. They was giving. Hey, Atlanta, I will say I was thinking it during that versus battle. Atlanta got some talent, man. Got some serious artistic talent. Like, I said what I said about the DMV from a basketball standpoint. Atlanta might have it in the music game. It may be creme de la creme of music talent and hip-hop and R&B, at least, I think.
Well, Kim, I'm being serious. I remember being a young dude being at the Bankhead Bounce video shoot back in 95. Okay. So I remember the Freaknik. I was a young dude, but I remember it. I got you by a couple of years, but yeah. You know, I remember those days. Yeah. Like
90, in 95, when I was seven, I was not at the Freaknik when I was seven in 95. So
yeah. I told you all the time, the old Atlanta, the new Atlanta's cool, but the old Atlanta that I kind of came up in a little bit different, but I still love the new Atlanta too, man, because it's so amazing that you're seeing what we're doing here at ATL. But Kim, thank you for your time, brother. Hey, when you come to the A, man, hit me up.
No way.
Now I'll take you to some spots that you're really going to like Soul Food Watch, brother. Okay, I know all the hole in the wall cut Soul Food spots. They ain't going to put it on Google for you. I know all of them, brother.
I need some fried chicken, some sweet potatoes, and some macaroni and cheese, cornbread.
The sweet cornbread?
Sweet cornbread.
Oh, I got a spot for you. I got a spot.
All right, good.
I got a spot for you, Kim. Thank you for your time, but we'll do this again real soon, my guy.
Thank you, my man. See you.
No doubt. Bye.